Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Legal Page Podcast. In today's episode, it is just me giving you a bunch of free legal information. Now, I haven't done a solo episode for a while since we've had some fabulous guests on lately, so I thought it was time to change it up a bit and give you some good old page time. Today, I am going in depth on service industry contracts and what you really need to know about your contracts to ensure that you're saving your patootie in the future. So let's get right to it. You're listening to the Legal Page Podcast, where we chat about life and business with a legal twist. I'm Paige, attorney and photographer helping online businesses and creatives tackle their business dreams without breaking out in hives. No more legal mumbo jumbo. This podcast features simple, bite-sized advice that'll have you legally legit in no time. Are you ready? Let's get started. As a reminder, before we get into this episode, I am legally obligated to give my disclaimer. So I am an attorney, but I am not your attorney. All legal information I talk about on this episode is intended for the masses and a large variety of different businesses. I am only your attorney when you hire me and we sign an engagement letter for me to work specifically on your legal issues. Please feel free to seek out another attorney in your hometown if you need specific legal advice or contact me for more information. Alrighty, here's the episode, friends. Welcome, welcome, Legal Pagers, to this episode. I am very, very excited to give my best tips for solid business contracts. And specifically, we are talking today about service industry contracts, which is primarily what all of you do that are tuning in. I know some of you sell tangible goods, and that is okay. This would also pertain to you with all of your contracts as well. But specifically, we are just going to define kind of the scope and the biggest things you need to know about your service industry contracts. So I want to start out by saying that if you have not listened to episodes 7 and 8 yet of the Legal Page Podcast, then I would suggest you go back and tune into those. So 7 and 8 go into the essential clauses that you need in your service-based company. So go make sure that you listen to those because I will be building off of those in this episode. I'm not going to go into all of the nitty-gritty on the essential clauses because I already talked about that in 2 separate episodes. So just make sure you go do that. But you guys, today I am talking about what really needs to be laid out in your contract in order for it to be valid. And this is very important, right? Because lots of us like Google things, we piece together our contract, we've got it through service industry friends, and we haven't really had it reviewed by an attorney yet. And so that's what we are talking about today. We're talking about some big general legal concepts that have to do with your service industry agreement. And this is the agreement that you use with your clients. So let's just start out with the basics here. A service contract, you guys, is an agreement between a customer or a client and a person or a company who will be providing services to that client. So lots of people call this like a master services agreement, like an MSA. I just call it a client agreement or a customer agreement. This is what we're talking about, and we're going to talk about some of the big concepts that need to be included in order for those client contracts to be valid in a court of law. Because while you think in your mind that they are legit and they are going to protect you, chances are you're missing a few big things in your contract. And I'm here to tell you that I review contracts every day, probably, you know, up to 5 times a day, if my brain can handle it. And my clients that come to me to have a custom contract review, they often are missing so many really, really important things in your contract, in their contract. So that being said, I'm sure you're missing a few things in your contract. If people who are more mature businesses, I've been working for some people who have been in business over a decade and they're still missing things in their contract, it's okay. You are constantly going to have to be modifying and changing your contract. You're going to need to make sure that you sit down and do what I like to call a contract contract audit. I try to tell everyone to do it at least every 6 months, once a year at a minimum, but twice a year is a good time to do a contract audit. And I'm not getting fully into a contract audit in this episode, but I just wanted to lend you that little piece of advice. Now, I get asked all the time, why is a contract so important, Paige? Like, you talk about it all the time. My easy answer to that is it defines the working relationship between the two parties right from the start. It sets out both of your roles and responsibilities, and it's the document that you refer to when things come up that need to be resolved. Now, there are a few things that you have to have in order for your contract to be valid. And that is the big stuff that I'm talking about today. Now, I'm just going to forewarn you that these are like legal principles and concepts. So just know that I'm not like having you do check boxes or anything like that. I just want you to sit back and listen to me because it's really, really good for business owners to understand these legal principles and concepts because you guys use your client contracts like every day when people are hiring you to do things. Okay, so the first thing that needs to be in your contract, that a contract has to have in order to be valid, is offer, acceptance, and mutual assent. And those three things, if they are not like within your written contract, the contract just isn't valid. So you have to have some type of offer, okay? So you have to offer services to your client for like a fee or something along those lines. Then your client has to accept that offer, usually by signing the contract. And then everyone in that is party to the contract, so everyone that is signing needs to have mutual consent. And that means that they are agreeing to the terms and conditions of the contract on their free will, that there is a mutual intent to create a binding agreement. So you just don't want willy-nillies that are like not quite sure, right? Like you want to send the contract. It's very clear that they've read through it. Maybe you've talked about the clauses and the terms and conditions in your contract. You're offering something. The other party is accepting that. And then both parties must be serious in their wanting to agree to the services, to perform them and to pay for them. So first thing, offer, acceptance, and mutual consent. Now, the next one people talk about a lot, which is consideration. And when I was in like contracts 101 in law school, it was always offer, acceptance, and consideration, those three big things. But I like to put consideration like in its own bubble because the offer and acceptance and like both parties coming to mutual consent on the services that are going to be performed and the fees that are going to be paid is one thing. But consideration as a whole is often sometimes missing in a contract. And like I said, we talked about this all the time in law school. Like I have so many cases that I can recall that have to do with consideration. And it is something I make very, very clear in all my client contracts. Consideration means that something of value must be exchanged between the parties. Usually here it's dollar bills, and that is not, you know, a surprise to all of you listening in. You're like, Paige, I always have someone accepting to pay something. But that the biggest thing that I see is people often forget to have like a retainer or deposit right away. With service companies, you are providing a service to them. And I truly dislike having the client pay at the end of when those services are performed. Because honestly, that's when I see the sticky situations come up, is you as the service provider have already done something for them, and then potentially they haven't paid you for those services yet. So I want that consideration to happen at the beginning. You want it laid out in your contract, but the consideration, you guys, is that cha-ching moment when they pay you the retainer or deposit for you to start the services. And then the consideration in total is the entire fee that they're paying you. So remember, now we've got offer, acceptance, mutual consent, and consideration. Those are four biggies, the big legal concepts. If those aren't laid out and very clearly articulated in your contract, if something happens and like you get in a legal dispute, those are the big things that a court is going to look at, and they will tear down a contract and make it invalid if those are not laid out in the written document. Okay, the next thing you want to ensure that is in your contract is this legal concept. It's called competence. And you can do this by adding a clause in your contract, but also you sometimes can't get away from the fact that even if you have the clause, if the other party isn't competent to be able to sign the contract, then it's not valid. So you need to make sure that you're contracting with parties who are of sound mind. So they can't be a minor. Do not have minors sign contracts. So that goes for like all of you senior photographers out there. Make sure the parent or legal guardian is signing. The person must be sober when they sign your contract. I don't see this happen very often, but it is an argument and a defense to contract validity. And that being said, just make sure that covering your, you know, patootie by having a clause in there that says everyone is of sound mind and they can agree to this contract. And then all around, they just can't have an impaired mind. They need to be competent when they sign the contract. Hey there, Legal Page podcast listener. I've got something really exciting for you that you don't want to miss. My Piece of Cake contract protection video series is coming at you next week. Starting on Monday, August 26th, I'm doling out 3 free videos with a step-by-step guide to transform your current contracts today to ensure that you're 100% protected for any hiccups in the future. Just go to bit.ly/pieceofcakecontract to reserve your spot and get access to my free video series. Now, another big concept is whether it needs to be in writing or not. And I'll go to conferences and people will always ask me, well, Paige, can't I just create the contract by writing things in emails or doing a handshake deal? And the answer is yes, you can. You can have an oral agreement. And you can make an agreement through back and forth emails, but it's always, 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 always advisable to what I like to call, quote unquote, get it in writing to ensure that both parties understand their obligations. And we talked about that already. And if anything were to happen, there's a huge problem called hearsay, the he said, she said situation. If it was just an oral contract or if it was just through emails and then there's really no terms and conditions that you're even agreeing to, you're just saying like, I'll do this. They say yes. And then that's the contract. You really don't want that to be your contract. You want to avoid those disputes. And the reason that verbal contracts can be problematic is the parties change their minds and memories fade. And okay, yes, you guys, people lie. Like people just do. And I'm sorry to say that. And that is why if you want it in writing, when you have things written down, people can't lie to what they agreed to, right? It's right there in writing, set in stone. Without that written agreement, so a judge or jury would have a hard time determining which version of events to believe. And that's when I, you know, say that you're going to have someone be asked to figure out what the truth actually is. And why would you even want to get into that situation? You just want a judge or jury to look at a contract and be like, yes, this is what was agreed to. And you are in breach of contract and you or you owe this to this person pursuant to the language in the contract. It's just so simple when things are in writing. And you guys, I want to just explain here that I've seen this. So people are like, oh, Paige, this doesn't really happen in reality. No. It really does. I had an entire case in law school with a firm that I worked with a handshake deal and a verbal contract. Like it was a multi-million dollar lawsuit based on them talking about and creating an oral agreement. So simply put, a written contract ensures that all of the terms of your guys' relationship together are documented. And if a disagreement arises, there will be that written contract to go back to. And you can refer back to each clause in order to get the relationship back on track. So in short, a solid written contract can save you boatloads of money, a ton of headache in the future if a legal dispute were to come up. And really, it just strengthens your guys' business relationship because you are agreeing to things to hopefully avoid litigation altogether in the future. Okay, so now that I said that you should and definitely, quote unquote, get it in writing and make sure that you write out your contracts. And I know I'm kind of like beating the dead horse here, but hopefully you like leave listening to this podcast episode with the fact that you need to make sure all of your contracts are in writing. I want to just be very clear here that some contracts have to be in writing to be enforceable. So if you have any of these type of situations come up, if you do an oral contract or a handshake deal with this particular type of situation, it's actually invalid and it'll never work. So this includes like contracts for the sale of real property. So any type of real property, like, you know, property that you're buying, land that you're buying, houses that you're buying, like those have to be in writing. Contracts that take longer than 1 year to complete. And this could potentially fall into a category of some of you who do like coaching for people or like photography. If you have a wedding client that is based, I don't know, 18 months out. So the contract as a whole, like from the time that you sign the contract, you are their photographer, you do an engagement session and the wedding is, you know, 18 months later. And then of course you don't deliver and finalize your performance under the contract by delivering their images, say 24 months later. I know that's a long time and probably not a lot of your guys' business practices, but I'm just trying to get to the point here that if it's longer than 1 year, it needs to be in writing. Agreements to pay the debts of one another, anything with like debts, bankruptcy, that all needs to be in writing too. And then under the Uniform Commercial Code, so for any of you listening in that sell tangible goods, anything for the sale of goods that's over $500 or more needs to be in writing. Okay, so we've talked about some big, big, big general legal concepts here, and I'm not going to go into any of them any further because I don't want to like jumble things up in your head and get you all confused. I just wanted to give you a little segment of Contracts 101 because they're really, really important to have to ensure that your contracts are valid. So we're going to go through them one more time before I close out this episode. So the first, you guys, offer, acceptance, and mutual consent. The second, consideration. The third, competence. And the fourth, make sure that you have it in writing. All of those things need to be a part of your contract. And I know that these are just contract principles, but they are things that, of course, we as lawyers study, we argue, and we ensure that all of these are covered in our client contracts to avoid those futures later on. I know it's tough for you to understand all of this. I just simply wanted to ensure that you have a basic understanding of it. And let's just be real. Chances are you are going to forget about a lot of these legal principles because you've got better things to do as a business owner. I get it. Like, you're probably a creative. You just want to run your business and have fun doing it and do the creative things and not think about the legal things. That's okay. That's why lawyers are here to help you when you need. And that's why I'm here as the legal page to be your guide through all of this legal mumbo jumbo. So if you've been listening in and you're starting to think that maybe you should have someone check through your contract to ensure that you're covered with all of these things that I've chatted about today, I'm about to save you thousands of dollars. Because lawyers on average cost anywhere from like $250 an hour to upwards of thousands of dollars an hour for like a huge partner at a big firm. But luckily, you're not going to have to spend any money at all. I've got a free video series happening next week starting on August 26th that will get you results quickly with your contracts. I'll be sending you short 15-minute videos each day for you to watch on your own time. You don't have to sign up for a webinar or anything like that. And I'm going to walk you through DIYing a contract audit. So you don't have to pay a lawyer to do it for you. I'm the lawyer who's going to tell you to do it. You have to ensure right now that your contracts are actually protecting you and doing what they are supposed to do. You don't just want to sit around and like hope for, and what if something were to happen with my contracts? You guys, just join me. It's free. Just go to bit.ly/pieceofcakecontract to get access to the free video series today. You guys, thank you so much for joining me today for this episode. I really hope that you learned a lot about all of the things that need to be in your contract in order for it to be valid. Next week, we're diving even deeper into all of the essential contracts that you need to have as a small and growing business. So I hope to see you next week. Guess what, friend? All of this legal mumbo jumbo and legal concepts are likely making your head spin. Don't worry or stress, I've got you. Next week, I'm hosting a free 3-part video series that walks you step by step through your contracts to ensure that they're covering your patootie for any future sticky situation. Don't be the biz owner who sits around waiting for that what if situation. Join me at bit.ly/pieceofcakecontract to get access to my free video series. Again, that's bit.ly/pieceofcakecontract. See you there. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Legal Page Podcast. See, I told you being legally legit isn't so scary. Be sure to visit thelegalpage.com for all show notes. And it would be super awesome if you could head over to iTunes and leave a review. Last but not least, don't forget to join my free Facebook group for unlimited legal and biz Q&A. Chat soon, Legal Pagers.